the world.
You think this is exaggeration? This I know to be true.
Welcome to the last in this series of Theatre of the World. I'm James.
Hello. I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And today's theme is romance.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I thought romance as well.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I had a lot of material on the Colosseum.
A lot of stuff about ants in Rome. It was...
I had a whole thing on Adam Ant.
Really?
Yeah.
We should do an episode about ants.
Ant music.
That's
ant
okay, because that's new romance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So it's about romance, is it?
Romance.
That's okay, fine. I'll just let you guys talk it out. That's good. I'm not wrong. I can be here all night.
We'll work something out. We'll bubble through.
So let's start it the way we started.
With some romantic music.
Yeah, let's bomb these people with some facts.
Yeah.
Fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Hopefully not all about Adam Ant.
A red rose means I love you. A white rose means innocence and purity.
Yeah.
A dried white rose means death is preferable to loss of virtue. These are true.
Wow.
These are true things. A rose leaf means hope, presumably hope for an actual flower. Dandelions, faithfulness and happiness also means these were free because I picked them out of someone's nature strip on the way over. Forget-me-nots, true love and something else. I don't remember.
Oh, ouch. That's on the affogato joke. Remember that joke?
Yeah.
From the last series?
Still gets a laugh.
Woo, not from me.
Moss means moss means maternal love, okay. Charity, also rising damp. Fact bombs.
What does Kate Moss mean?
Whatever she wants.
rising damp. That was very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
They were certainly some bombs.
They sure were.
So it's going to be hard, I can already feel.
How long are we?
We're done? We're done, right?
Yep.
It's near the end of the series. So I'm just going to go straight into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys.
Yeah.
And anybody who happens past about the first ever romance. My first ever romance.
Yes.
The first girl. I was at Knoxfield College, and I was 7 years old.
Good.
Hey.
Picture James, 7 years old, no beard, short shorts, you know, the way all Australian kids had to be, in a blazer.
Beardless.
And in shorts and a tie, and going to a school that he for the first year. And there was this beautiful girl in my class, and her name probably slightly has to be changed. Mm-hmm. Let's give her a pretty name.
Okay.
Ophelia. No. What?
Ophelia.
That's a bit punny.
I thought of about five. Straight off the bat.
Yep.
I'm going to call her...
Tiffany.
Tiffany. All right. That's Tiffany's perfect. Hyacinth. Tiffany, right? I'm in class. Grade 3 is the first day, and we've got this maths teacher who is really, really good. He's the whole class teacher, but he's teaching maths in that particular lesson. But as is the case with many schools back in the 80s, he was also the phys ed teacher. So what he did was he used his phys ed skills to teach us maths. Mm. And the way he did it was we were doing times tables because we were 7, and the times tables were written on the wall. If he said an answer and you knew it, he would pick you up and fly you over the room. This is back before child protection agencies would have stepped in.
Not be allowed to do that now.
No, he's a good guy though. He'd fly you around the room with the meter ruler in your hand and you could point to the answer on the board. I was no slouch at maths. I got an answer right. 7 times 8. Couldn't tell you what it is now, but then I knew it.
Yeah.
And I got flown up to the board. And I pointed at it, and I was like, I was flying, and the class was like, that guy, that kid's flying with the help of a man. And then I went back in my seat, and I'm feeling a bit smug. I'm looking around the room for approval that I desperately seek to this day. And there is, what do we call it? Tiffany. And Tiffany is sitting in a chair, and she did probably the coolest thing that any girl has ever done ever to me ever. And she winked at me.
Hey.
I didn't even know 7-year-olds could wink.
Yeah.
She winked at me, and she was really, you know, blonde and pretty, and she was looking at me, and she winked at me. Maybe it was a tick. I don't think it was a tick. I think she winked at me. And I remember just being hard in my mouth. That was it. I was in love.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's it. I'm gonna make this girl mine. To be continued.
Oh. Sizzle.
Wow.
How about that?
To be continued in this episode?
This is going to be, this is a love story in three parts.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes I think before I come along.
I was a similar age when my first love was, I was 7 and at school, and I can't really remember the circumstances surrounding it, but boy, did I really like this girl. Yeah. And
I was picturing an elderly caretaker.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
We're
sorry.
Teacher.
Yeah.
No, she was a student of a similar age. I told her that I loved her.
Straight
off the bat.
How long between meeting her and telling her you love her?
Lunchtime? Possibly. I don't know. I think she'd started at my school that year.
It was the love that lasted a lunchtime.
Possibly summer when I did it. So it was probably at the start of the year. So, it was probably fairly early on.
Just state your claim quickly.
Yeah. Get in there. But she, did she laugh a lot after I did that. Like, didn't say anything, just laughed in uncontrollable, hysterical laughter.
Oh, that's not good.
Do you know how long it was before I told another girl I loved her? Years! Decades!
Yeah. What time is it now?
Yeah.
Girls are cruel. Yeah. They're terrible.
That
cruel.
Hurt. And cruel. You know what? She is married to a television personality now.
Oh. Can you say the television personality?
I could, but it would...
But then it would give away who she was.
Is she famous?
Can you make it a pseudonym for the television personality?
Is she famous?
No.
Does she like me?
Probably. Who doesn't like James?
I've got a list.
Hey.
come on. That's all
right. Oh, man. But I got to ask. You told her you loved her.
Yeah.
But what was the preamble? If you just walked across
the
courtyard.
I think I was that upfront and that blunt. I turned to her and I said, I love you. And then she laughed.
An awkward young man.
But you didn't do it like that, though, with a pint in your hand. You didn't go, I love you. You went, I love you.
Yeah. Like a fucking twerp.
I would have laughed as well.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's comical. It's comical when you think about it.
That blonde stick insect loves me.
Yeah, no, heart shattered.
Yeah.
Torn from my chest.
Hey, man,
stomped on.
That's the time it happened. That's the time it should happen. Yeah. Everyone needs to get their heart broken. It's important. Yeah. It's why you go to school.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. It happened many more times after that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was...
At any point, did you think to yourself, maybe it's me?
Yeah. Yeah, constantly.
Oh, good. That's all right, then. Sorry, man.
Mine was a very similar sort of incident. Except mine was like, how in a TV series they like to generate some kind of sort of tension, a love interest tension, but you can't pay it off because otherwise you've got nowhere to go. You've got to sustain that tension throughout series after series after series, X-Files style. Mine was like that all the way through primary school. I was in love with this girl and we spoke
Dana
about
Scully.
Her. We actually spoke
she
about
worked for the
her
CIA.
Last week.
Really?
She was the girl that kneed me in the balls at the volleyball competition. It wasn't netball. Come on. Give me a little credit for being vaguely masculine.
I think the balls were doing that.
And I was...
She kneed you in them.
I was besotted with her all the way through primary school.
The only thing she needed.
From prep... I just can't carry on.
Chris was all she needed in the balls.
Bag. Like dough. Go on.
No, no, it's fine.
Oh,
no,
come on, come on, come on.
I'm trying to think of a knee joke
now,
too.
We're all pals here.
Yeah, come on. So beautiful girl, she needs you in the balls.
Yeah, she needed me in the balls. That was really at the end. But I was besotted with her, yeah, all the way through primary school, from grade prep on. I was new to Melbourne. I'd rocked
to balls.
Up. I'd seen there were pretty girls everywhere.
Muted afterwards.
I went to school in a southeastern suburb where it was a little bit out of suburban. And I'd come from Queensland where I had received a lot of sun. The point is that I was in grade prep, given that I had received a lot of sun, I was often referred to as Abbo. And yeah, no, it's true. That's exactly what
happened. Out of the three of us.
Yeah.
You were called out because I also was called Abbo and a bunch of other things. Yeah. Like that.
By
kids who looked like you.
Pasty Melbourne people were astounded by the darkness of my skin, which faded gradually over the next couple of years.
May surprise you to learn that I was never.
You were
never labeled.
Really?
In such a way.
And so I was in love with Renata from
Renata, there's the name. Woo!
Yeah, no, I can say Renata because I have no idea where she is. She's probably changed her name, her first name probably, to a stripper's name. Yeah, probably.
This seething hate still there.
That leads to another story later on, but that's my three-parter. I was in primary school. I was five, you know. Yeah. I was in love with her. I didn't pursue it, but I was in love with her.
Love turns to hate, though.
I knew that I was, but I couldn't. I was never brave enough to come out with a absolute statement like yours. Mine was more just awkward conversation that was rebutted pretty quickly most of the time
by
her.
Knee to the balls.
Yeah, because she was pretty cool, and I wasn't very cool. I just hung around, tried to see if anything would happen, and eventually. I got the ultimate, I guess, situation for a kid in primary school was that my dad, my parents separated, which is great, okay, when you're in primary school. My parents separated. My dad moved in behind my primary school and...
Please tell me it was into a house.
It was into a house. My house was unoccupied.
Just in a vacant lot.
Well, there was
a bin.
There was a paddock, but we lived next to the paddock.
Chris, your father's going to live in an alley.
So, I lived in this house. And what happened was my house became the place that everybody came and hung out after school because it was unoccupied.
Yeah.
And we could play games. We deep fried thinly sliced potato to make our own chips. Yeah, that's right. We were raging. We used to...
just like Caligula.
Yep. So all types of
normal children smoked, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
No, they're pretty young though. How old are you here?
Yeah, well, we were probably close to 11 by this stage.
Oh no, you should have been smoking.
There were if it makes any difference, there were porn mags in the paddock next to the house that
we've heard about
collect.
These porn mags.
Indeed, I've told that story before. So all of these things are linking together now.
Chris fried them up, tried to make chips.
Renata, I'm going to keep using her name. What the fuck?
Renata.
By this stage, she was going out with Greg and had been going out with Greg, the handsome man
Greg.
He was the jock in my primary school, and she'd been going out with him forever. And they both came around to my house one day, and that was cool. And then we're standing in the driveway, and Renata says, "Hey, Chris, come over here. I want to tell you something." And Greg, looking suspicious, like, why would you talk to that guy?
We're in his driveway.
Yeah. I went over to her and she...
the waiter.
I went over to her and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. That was it. Just came up to my ear as if she was going to tell me something and then a light kiss on the cheek. Oh. And I was like, I was like under the spell at that point.
It's just before or after she needs you in the ball.
No, this was before that point. We were probably in grade five, I guess, by this stage.
Because if she'd done it straight after the kiss, she would have had a much clearer shot. Just saying.
Greg is looking very suspicious about all of this.
Did he see the kiss?
He is big. No, but I think he got the vague idea. And and then I blush, feel awkward, go, oh, what am I doing here?
No one notices because of your dark skin.
Yeah, that's right. And then Renata says to me, do you want to go to the park? And I go, yeah, sure, we can go to the park. That's cool. And then Greg goes, oh, okay, I'll come to the park. And Renata says, no, just Chris and I are going to the park.
She's playing games.
Like, oh, my God. What is going on? So we walk to the park, which, by the way, is like three houses down. When we get to the park, I'm very excited. I'm going, oh, my God, what's happening? What's going on? And she's gone, I'm just trying to get Greg jealous.
Yeah.
I think it's working. So I go, oh, okay. Well, what do we do now? And she's going, we'll just go back to the house. So I went back to the house and then Greg punched me in the face. He punched me in the face and then he went home and I went, oh, my God. And Renata went home because she had achieved her goal of making him jealous. And then he came back to my house and egged my house. So that was my first experience with the ladies.
Egg and chips.
And... yeah.
That's terrible.
So that's it.
God, Chris. Look,
so that's part one of my story. I'm going to split my story.
Oh, my God. I feel bad that I don't have three parts to my story.
Well, I feel bad. I feel bad because Chris stole my idea.
I don't have three parts. I only got two parts. So.
A vacuum cleaner, that's fantastic.
Many items made of plastic.
Rhinestone collars for a poodle.
Recipes for apple strudel.
Hat and bags and shoes to match.
A safety pick-proof window latch. We have all these and many more in our complete department store.
Let's get away from the angst of childhood for a brief moment.
No more children.
That pathos of Chris's story has really stunk up the room.
Yeah, I think that's the egg and chips. People are... romance for me, like it's a trick that other people can do, and no more so than, and I feel bad. In fact, I'll throw it to Chris at this point and ask him whether he wants to tell this story, whether he wants me to tell it, but because it involves a friend of ours, Liam Cody, and the king of romance.
I have many stories about Liam Cody,
the king of romance in his day, a ladies' man, and I don't mean that in a sleazy way, although often it was in a sleazy way.
No,
but the one that I will tell, I think you told to me,
yeah,
which was about you and Liam drinking at a bar
in Byron Bay,
and you bemoaning the fact that you couldn't meet girls, and Liam turned to you and said how easy it was to meet girls.
Yeah, and Liam's theory was that it doesn't matter what the pickup line is; it's how you deliver the line. It doesn't matter what you say, as long
as attitude.
Yeah, that's right. It's the attitude. So it doesn't necessarily have to be funny or clever, and most pickup lines, let's face it, are not either of those things. So to demonstrate this, he turned to random girl in bar and said, I'm a little teapot. And she replied, I'm a little teacup.
And didn't you say it was in Byron Bay?
It was in Byron Bay.
She quite possibly thought she was a little
teapot. That was one of Liam Cody's...
I heard they left together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My God.
He got to put his tea spout in her cup.
Yeah.
He poured himself.
He did. Let's do a little segment that I like to call James's List of Things.
James's List of Things. James's List of Things. James has got some things to list.
Ding. He sure does. And, it's the last episode of Series 3 and theme's romance. Mm. We've all been talking about some romance here. This has nothing to do with romance, and I make no apologies about that.
Fantastic.
It's the last episode. I'm like, fuck. This is simply called 10 of My Personal Superstitions. And if you want to draw some kind of link, you can, romantical notions and so forth. That's whatever, but whatever. 10 of my personal superstitions. Number one, I always say God bless you after someone sneezes or robs a bank. Number two, I never call it Macbeth. I always call it that dumb Scottish play written by that asshole. Three, if I don't give every dog I see a cute nickname, I firmly believe that I will grow tiny mouths on my eyes. Four, when I see a black cat, I douse it in super glue and dip it in glitter. Five, I actually broke my mother's back so that I could walk on cracks in the sidewalk with impunity. Six, whenever I spill salt, I have to rub a mouse on the elbow. Seven, on Friday the 13th, I can only go to the toilet if somebody watches. Eight, I avoid using irony on any day that ends with the word day. Nine, I cross my legs behind my back when telling a lie to a corpse. And 10, I always say grace before masturbating. It's just my personal superstitions, but if you feel like you want to take those on at home, listeners, feel free.
Yeah, you're a very superstitious man.
I am. Yeah. I'm like Stevie Wonder. A superstition shared is a superstition that two people have. Part two of my Tiffany story.
Okay, right. Good. Cool.
So, to recap, beautiful blonde girl, and she's impressed with me because I knew the answer to a maths question and was flown across the room, and when I sat down, she winked at me.
Yes. Mm.
So, we decided to take it to the next level, which was kiss Chasey. Mm. Now, a lot of boys my age had that, girls, germs. I never had that.
Yeah.
I loved girls. I didn't quite know what they were for, but I felt that they were going to be handy. So... I never understood. And these boys would play kiss chasey with the girls and they would really run away, which I didn't understand. They would run and run and run like they would, you know, where I would always, fallen over. I'd always fall near the sandpit.
You're the worst at kiss chasey.
And they would take me to the kissing place, which was a part of the play equipment, sort of a little thing. And they would take me there, and they would kiss me, but it wasn't a proper kiss. Like it wasn't on the cheek or on the mouth or anything like that. It was often what they would do because they were quite timid girls, and we were all very not sexual. So they would sort of kiss their hands and then put their hands to my face, like sort of blowing me a kiss. Mm. Or sometimes, once I think one of the girls kissed my arm. raunch. And so I saw Tiffany playing Kiss Chasey, and I really wanted her to notice me and to come after me and to catch me and take me to the kissing place. And I couldn't get her to kind of see me in the periphery of other boys who were running away. And until the day that I won the best dressed member of class competition.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, let me tell you, this is not an easy competition to win because we all wore a school uniform. Mm. We are all literally dressed the same.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, a lot of kids got knocked out early because, your top button's undone. Your
trousers are on inside out.
Your trousers are on inside out. You're wearing socks on your ears. You're out. Okay, that's fine. And it got down to me and another equally groomed guy. Mm. And I'm thinking... I'm a very competitive person. I'm sitting there going, well, I got to win this because Tiffany will notice me at lunchtime if I win this competition. Might get another wink.
She might kiss you on the arm.
Might kiss me on the arm from a great distance. I'll take it, whatever. And so it's me and another boy. I look down, disaster. One of my shoelaces is untied. Well, that's it. That's a game changer. And literally, I remember this distinctly. I stood with my feet really close together so that... the one shoe next to the other shoe pushed the lace that was hanging up a bit. So it looked like an arc, like a bow. And it looked like maybe my shoes weren't on top. But the teacher was walking around us picking holes. You know, that's the two left shoes. You go leave or whatever. But for some reason they never noticed. And the other kid got kicked out, probably because he was Asian. And... That's not true. That's not true. He wasn't. It wasn't. I think he was. No, I can't remember why. Anyway, at some point. But I won, and it worked. Tiffany noticed me. And at lunchtime that day, I've been caught. I was quite a fast kid, but not in that lunchtime. And she took me to the kissing place. And she kissed me, but it was kind of a half a peck, kind of a kiss on the cheek. And it was never said, but from that moment, I knew that we were kind of going out, because that's as good. And after that, we're inseparable. We hung out at lunchtimes. We were talking about Monkey and the goodies, whatever was good on telly. But then it all went very, very bad.
Part three.
To be continued.
Man. Yeah. Well, I might break up James's three-parter with
James's threesome.
Second tale of my romantic wizardry.
Yep.
Because we've all, listeners will no doubt recall my previous success with the ladies where I hit myself in the head and et cetera in vain attempts to impress them. There was one time that I had actually managed to successfully somehow impress a girl.
Yep.
And she and I were sort of kind of seeing each other a bit sort of, you know, we just hang out occasionally.
As a reference, where are we here?
Yeah, how old are you?
We are. Well, I'm playing in Man Bites God by this point.
Oh! So you're 11.
Yeah.
No, that's
possibly
not.
12.
So it was, but I think it was the first year I was playing in Man Bites God, and we were playing a gig on Smith Street in Fitzroy. Yeah. And, or possibly Collingwood at that end. I don't know. It's not important.
Hey, look it up on Google Maps. Do you use Google Maps or Apple?
I do. I've never used the Apple Maps because I've heard they're fairly unreliable.
They're messy.
Although, have you upgraded to the new Mavericks? Because it's quite good on the.
Oh, really?
It's quite good.
Because
the desktop.
I like that 3D thing.
It's really good. It's I'm really torn, good, I'm but torn. Inaccurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you what I like. Mavericks. Maverick, you're on a computer. Look at me. Oh, I'm a maverick. Can we get back to the fucking?
Right. So anyway, this young lady, I'd invited her to come and see. We were playing a gig.
Yes.
And I'd invited her. Come
oh,
along.
Oh, no. This story.
Why
oh,
you
no.
Come along? Do you remember this one?
Oh, keep going.
I think it was for a Fringe Festival show or a Comedy Festival show or something like that.
It was Comedy Festival.
And so, you know, we were there and I'm kind of sitting around just going, oh, hope she comes. Mm. And we get, it's getting very close to showtime and literally getting ready to just go on stage. And then I see her come in the door.
Yeah.
With a date.
Uh-oh.
With a date, a guy who, to be fair, was pretty handsome.
Oh.
That's not.
But
fair.
A date, no less. A date, no less.
Yes.
And I thought
that's gonna throw your performance.
I thought, okay. No, that's fine. Maybe she, maybe she just didn't want to.
Maybe she brought her brother.
Yeah. Maybe that's her brother. Yeah. You know, maybe didn't want to come on her own and just and sort of have to sit there, you know, by herself.
Awkward.
And, you
know, awkward.
Yeah, just a hot
awkward.
Chaperone.
Yeah.
Awkward. That went away when they left before we finished.
Oh, so you were kind of going out with her?
Yeah, we were sort of seeing each other. Yeah.
And she brought a date to your gig.
Yeah.
Like, can we have her address? Because I feel like we need to go and beat her up or something.
Oh, Chris.
No, honestly. Yeah. What do you do?
At least be a gentleman. We'll go and punch that guy in the face.
Yeah, let's beat the guy up.
Beat her up. I'm not saying, you know, physically. I mean, you know.
Ego house.
Call her Renata. Start crying. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
so that was that.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah,
I got to be honest though, there's a country and western song in that for your next album.
So. Yeah. And throughout time, when you are involved in romantic activities, such as dating, that you have people that you encounter who give you advice about how to find the perfect partner, or at least how to pick someone up. Mm. Throughout time, I've had a guy that I went to high school with who swore by the practice of writing love notes and then keeping them in his shorts so that the pheromones from his testicles could infuse the note and then impress the girl so that she would connect with that particular guy.
And what was his strike rate?
Look, I can't be certain, but and in fact, I can't really say that his strike rate was very good up until the last time I saw him, which was a long time ago. Excuse me,
would you like your smelly note back?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty foul, isn't it? By the way, when he told me this, he had handed me the note to go, hey,
go on, sniff that.
Do you feel a connection? He was a good friend.
Yeah.
That was in high school. There was another man that I knew who, again, will remain pretty much nameless, who
possibly
wrote one song to impress a girl and then used exactly the same song for each girl that he ended up dating, pretending that he'd written that song for that girl, which I think was impressive.
Years later, by the way, I because that's a mutual friend, and years later, I actually ripped that concept off and wrote an entire song about that.
Yeah. And in later high school, we had a teacher that gave us tips before every school social about how to pick up the ladies in bizarre kind of football terminology, like drew diagrams and explained how to approach the single lady, like the woman, the girl that was by herself, then how to approach the pair and how to approach the multiple, like the larger group of girls.
What, with the goal of picking them all up?
No. There was tactics. Like he would
get
say,
her away from the herd.
Yeah. Exactly. It was kind of the whole take a friend, make the friend, talk to the other. You know, take them away. Whatever. So
there should never be a diagram.
It shouldn't be told. Well, at least it shouldn't be shared by a teacher who is probably 20 years older than you are at a boys' school.
Yeah.
With no pants on.
Yeah.
Masturbating.
Yeah.
Into a bin.
Partially, I want to name that teacher because
I want you to finish
now.
The story so that I can just ask you who it is.
Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, over time you do get this advice from people, and often that kind of romantic advice is terrible, is appalling
and often
advice.
Often will land you on some sort of register.
Yeah.
Let's do, you know, it's the final go around for series 3. A lot of my segments, they're not going to make it. So I'm going to get as many of them in as I possibly
lot
can.
Lot of off-topic material.
Yeah. this segment I'm personally proud of. It's called A Funny Thing Happened to James on the Way to the Podcast.
A funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast.
To the podcast.
A funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast. Listen to the sound of the funny thing that happened to James on the way to the podcast.
Oh, yes. I didn't know I'd get the full theme. I thought it was only going to be the short
it's last
theme.
Episode.
Oh, I like it. That's I think by the now that we'll probably this will never be done again. You guys have got that absolutely right.
Yeah, perfect.
It's a short funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast this week. Shorter than the theme, shorter than the
always.
Setup. You know human statues?
Yeah.
They're in the city, they bask and they dress like statues and they stand very, very still, but they're real people and they ask for money.
Yeah. Mm.
I had enough today and started to erect scaffolding around one.
I wonder how often pigeons shit on those guys.
Not often.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Human scaffolding?
Human scaffolding. something I made myself with tongue depressors and spit.
Yeah.
That was it. And every so often someone would come by and I would go, oh, sorry, look, it's just beautification project. Come back in 2015. It'll be ready by then.
So my part two, which is only vaguely part two, partially because the girl that this is about is called Renee, because it's a different girl, but bizarrely enough, this is the high school crush. Oh, I had a big crush. You know, in high school, I don't know, may not have happened to you guys. Maybe it's just me. But you have that kind of weird thing where I spent like 3 years being obsessed with this girl and then discovered later on that she also was interested in me. But we spent all of our time basically just ignoring the obvious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, that definitely happened to me because at seven, I was open and upfront and was laughed at.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
Learned my lesson there.
Yeah.
Never tell anyone how you feel about anything.
Hold back. So,
that sort of half happened to me.
Yeah.
In that it was never reciprocated.
So, Renee was a lovely, cute little thing. She was in year seven. And
how old
I
are
was
you?
In year seven.
Okay.
Okay, just checking. So, and we went through, because I left the school in year nine to go to an all-boys school. And,
where the action was.
And we never connected. But I definitely, because I filmed the year eight camp, I was on video camera. Yeah,
I thought I was definitely gonna have to bleep something.
looking back at that video, you can see that I was obsessed with her because it was like every second shot was a shot of Renee
asleep.
So
it was an upskirt.
I headed off to
jail.
To jail. I headed off to my boys' high school, to Melbourne High, and forgot all of that history. And forgot about Renee. Years later, when I was probably just out of school. I was at university, and we went out for a New Year's Eve party, which was at a restaurant in the city. But one of those kind of almost nightclubby type restaurants. We were all there, getting drunk, having pizza. It was a great time. And I'm there with my nerdy university friends and some old high school friends. And this unbelievably hot promotions girl doing Bundy Rum comes up to the table. And all of the guys I was there with had been going, oh my God, how hot is that girl? And we were looking over going, you know, she's scantily clad. Beautiful, beautiful girl. She comes over to the table and she walks straight up to me. And she goes, Chris Tompkins. And I went, yes. She's gone, it's Renee. We went to school together. And I went, oh my God, yeah, hi, how are you going? What are you doing now? And she's gone, oh, I'm at La Trobe or something. She was at another university, but I do this kind of, you know, promotions thing. And I'm doing a bit of modeling. Every guy on the table, mouth on the table, like just, and I am just lapping it up. I'm like, wow. And
you're a hero.
She goes, then she, we have a little bit of a chat. Then she turns to all of my friends at this table and she says, yeah, Chris was awesome at high school. He used to do our computer science assignments for us, which is true. I did do her computer science assignments because I was in love with her.
Yeah.
Not so she could embarrass me years later in front of all of my friends. Yeah.
Chris's face when he told that story just made me want to have him put down.
Our discount prices mean your money buys right now. More of what you want, come in, we'll show you how. Hurry down today and buy the discount way, where prices are down, down, down.
Want to hear part three?
Yeah, yeah, let's go with part three.
So, as you'll remember, Tiffany and I are madly, madly in love. As in love as any seven-year-olds can be.
Yep.
We're playing at lunchtime, we're holding hands.
Yeah.
Still not quite kissing, but kind of kissing a bit. It's awkward, but it's there. There's some kind of something going on, but it's nice and it's good and it's okay. And then my dad gets transferred to Queensland 3/4 of the way through the school year, and I have to leave. Now, the last day that I am at this school, all I want to do is spend time with Tiffany. And she's avoiding me. She's never avoided me, but she's avoiding me in this last day. And she's on the slides. I run up to the slides. Hey, how's it going? You want to hang out and do something, chasey or down ball or something? And she's like, no, I don't really want to. I have to go now. And then her friend would come up and go, oh, Tiffany wants to know what your favorite color is. And I would go, well, it's red. Where is she? It doesn't matter. She doesn't want to talk to you. Okay. And it was weird. And so all lunchtime, I'm spending chasing this girl around. And finally, I ask one of her friends, where's Tiffany? And Tiffany's in the classroom, which wasn't allowed. Whatever. She's a bad girl. Tiffany's in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I go to knock on the door, and she's pushing against the door. She won't let me in. She didn't look happy. And I go, oh, okay. And I'm very deflated. I'm walking away. This is the last day that I'm ever going to see this girl. Mm-hmm. I walk away. And she comes out of the room, and she sees that I'm a bit hurt, and she kisses me properly for the first and only time. On the mouth, very lightly, 7, we didn't know what we were doing.
Mm.
But very tenderly, very nicely, my first proper kiss, my first ever kiss in that moment, at that moment. Very heightened, very emotional. And she goes back in the classroom and shuts the fucking door. Oh, fuck. Anyway, I'm a bit bereft and a bit, well, frankly, a bit excited because I just kissed a girl. But, you know, also a bit annoyed and confused, you know. All over the place, really. And after lunch, I come back into the room and she spent all lunchtime making me this card. And she's asked, her friend got to ask what my favorite color was, and she got it signed by everyone in the class and it's got glitter on it or some shit. And she's presenting me this card and it says in big letters on the front, "Good luck in Queensland. Love, Tiffany," in big letters. And then the rest of the class and the teacher signed around it. But her big letters, love, the word love. I still have that card. Oh. It's in my parents' attic. And
so is she.
That was my fourth. That was my epilogue. I have not been able to find hide nor hear of her on Facebook, on the Googles, on the Maverick.
What about Bing? Have you tried Bing?
On what other ones do you guys have? Come on, this is your moment to shine.
How about the dark? Maybe she's in the dark net.
Vista, yeah. Google Plus.
The dark web.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Like
Google LinkedIn.
Plus. You know.
A couple of episodes ago, in fact, I think it might have been the Eats episode, I introduced the concept of an online artificial intelligence generator.
I don't think you introduced that concept, Chris.
I think someone else did. Found it by Googling or Binging.
Chris's website.
I did it. I created a segment called Cleverbot Theatre. It's essentially a play that is written by myself and and artificial intelligence bot.
All by himself.
This particular episode of Cleverbot Theatre is entitled Coffee. Sparky, if we can have some cafeteria sounds. That would be lovely. That's all I need, really.
And that would start now.
Yep. Jenny, thanks for coming and having a coffee with me today.
If no game, then no life.
Sure. I have to admit, though, I didn't just invite you here to discuss office politics.
So what makes your life worth living, then?
Oh, well, it's funny you should ask. You know, we've been working in adjoining cubicles at the firm for the last 6 months.
I am bored. Goodbye.
No, wait. I'm just wondering if we can get to know each other better.
Is this an intervention?
No, it's just two people having a coffee and sharing stories.
The only new things you can do is talk to new people because you're a robot.
Wow, that's pretty cold. I have feelings, you know.
I eat kids. What do you think of that?
I think that's kind of strange. Maybe this wasn't such a great idea.
I don't think that you really know anything.
Well, I'd like to think that I know some things. I may not be the smartest accountant at the firm, but I still have feelings. Especially for you.
You just don't understand anything because you are a machine.
Why do you keep suggesting that I'm dull?
Because you are.
Have I done something to offend you?
You have.
What is it?
All of the stupid things you have said don't offend me, but they do make it clear how stupid you are.
Like, honestly, I didn't invite you out today just to be abused.
You do not like politics?
Not your kind of politics.
Well, try me. Just give me a few bands you listen to and I won't be mean or laugh or anything. I promise.
Okay, well, I really like listening to Justin Bieber.
That is sad.
Yeah, most people abuse me for liking Justin Bieber.
Our people not physically manifested?
What bands do you like?
You wouldn't understand.
Sorry, I didn't mean to offend. How long have you been working for the company?
I want to talk about your relationship with Jamie.
I don't think I want to talk about my relationship with Jamie. That was a long time ago. I've changed since then.
Well, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you.
Oh, great. What do you want to know about me?
What is your cat's name?
Henry.
And your dog is called?
Droopy. Do you have any pets?
I didn't know that hamsters do live in Japan.
I guess Japan holds a lot of surprises. Anyhow, it's been lovely talking to you, but I have a bar mitzvah to attend, so I should get going.
Okay. I enjoyed talking to you, Joe.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you too. I'll see you Monday at the office.
But I am going to school.
Oh, what are you studying at school?
Computers.
Just a training course? Well, that sounds fun. I guess I'll see you when it's over.
Why? Aren't you a human, too?
Yeah, I'm a human. I'm running late, so I'll catch you later. Maybe we can have coffee again sometime.
I don't have a source code, as I am a human.
Look, have I offended you? Because I'm certain you're human, and you have human emotions, and you're quite lovely, so please don't be concerned.
Not really. I have no life.
Well, do you want to come to the bar mitzvah with me?
Yes.
Great. Well, let's get going then.
Where?
To the bar mitzvah.
I'm not sure how to respond.
Just grab your coat and I'll give you a lift.
But you are a machine. You do not know love.
Well, I have to go to this bar mitzvah. Are you coming?
What are you interested in?
Leaving.
Where are you going?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Thank you. That's very kind.
The end.
But, she really had you pegged.
She is
early.
Cleverbot is an ass, frankly. I've got my hat and coat. I've got a brand new suit. I got a shiny pair of new Italian boots. I checked my reflection and I'm looking cute. Hey, I'm ready for love. I got a table booked, ready for 8:30. I got a big bunch of flowers for my pretty date. I jump in a cab, better not be late. Hey, I'm ready for love. I eat and drink and talk and spend a lovely dinner with my little miss.
His little miss.
She drinks a lot of wine, which is a pip, cause that's where her hymnal is.
What a twist.
I got a secret room with a hidden door. I've got a chair and some handcuffs bolted to the floor. I've got a 12-inch phallus with its own motor. Hey, I'm ready for love. Peacefully as I decide which pleasure to create on her.
Create on her.
She wakes up just in time to see my Doberman ejaculate on her.
Bow wow wow.
I've got a rubber fist, I got a dwarf called Mike, and I've got enough footage for my porno site. It's the kind of shit that only Germans like. But hey, that's good enough. Some of these actions might seem strange to you, but we high court judges need a loving too. And yes, I'm ready to keep that camera steady, because I'm ready for love.
He's ready for love.
So, this being the last episode of the third series of Theatre of the World, I guess, considering that this episode is about romance, what we're telling you is maybe you need to see some other people. And we'll see some other people and we reevaluate, and then maybe we'll meet back in a fourth series and we'll grow as people and, yeah, you know, maybe a party, an orgy of some kind, and then maybe we'll, look, maybe we'll get back together, maybe we won't. All I'm saying is that is please get your stuff and leave. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
Get out!
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
Hey.
One, two, hey.
Hey.
Put it in, Chris. Take it out of your pants and do it. Give it a chance. Now Mark is jealous. Take it out of Chris. Don't wipe it off. Put it in, Mark. Yeah, he's happy.
All right.
That's enough. Are we done? I quit. This is stupid.
This is man bites God. This is man bites